Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Good to see someone looking after me. All right, so it's all good. Well, last week, Anthony introduced culture. We're starting to talk about culture, lifestyle. Anthony was saying, of course, it comes. Jesus showed through experience, that experience validated our beliefs, blah, blah, blah. And somebody came up after the service and said, that's not the right number. And I went, what do you mean? They said, because it's only 25% for each bit. I said, yeah, but... I said, yeah, but he was making it. Anyway, I understood what you meant. That was the main thing. And so I want to continue that this morning. Thanks, Joey. That's all good. That's awesome. So culture, you know, culture is influenced by lots of stuff, right? So our culture is influenced by how we're brought up, the culture of your parents, your school teachers. How and when you came to Christ influences your church culture. The church you were in when you first was born again will influence your culture. The teachings and the doctrines you were taught when you were a new Christian will influence your church culture. The country we live in, our ethnic culture, our socio-economic background. They all influence our culture. And although we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, not all our cultural influences are helpful for us to further the kingdom of God. Some of the things are just downright, we just need to get rid of them. Diane woke up during the week with this scripture, and so I thought I would read it out. And it's Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. What a great scripture. That's for you, church. That's for us. God's doing a new thing. I'm really excited about that. I put goosebumps. God is doing a new thing. God's doing something completely different. Let's just bow our heads and pray for a moment. Father, I pray this morning that the culture and thinking you want us to have for our church would develop and grow in us, that you might be glorified, that your name might be exalted above all names, in the most wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever found yourself stuck in a rut? Stuck in neutral? I can remember when Mum was teaching me to learn to drive down the back blocks of Berkeley Vale on the old dirt roads. And many times I would go to take off in the car. You've got to put it in gear, son. And you've got to go to that effort to push in your clutch. For those who drive manuals, we all understand. Those who drive autos and have always driven an auto won't quite understand the thing. But if you push your clutch in and you pull it, you drop it, just let go of the clutch, either two things will happen. Yes? A big burnout might be the case. Hit the nearest tree. Or You'll stall it. How many people have stalled their car? Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what happens if you don't deal with that clutch with an accelerator, that whole push-pull thing. If you don't get it right, you're going to stall it. Or you'll bunny hop up the road. Or if you forget the clutch, or only get the clutch just going in as you go to do it, it'll be... You're just laughing because you've all done it. That's right. It's true. It's just the way it works. But sometimes we get stuck in that rut. We get stuck in neutral. And I've lost my place. But we need to move forward. And to move forward, we've got to put something in gear. Put something in gear and start moving forward. It's all well and good to warm up your car, start it up, get it revving, get it all happening. But eventually you want to go somewhere. And as a church, we want to go somewhere, amen? We don't just want to sit cooling our heels forevermore. We want to actually do something. We want to make a difference in our community, in Australia, and in the outer wide parts of the world. We might be small, but we've got a big heart, amen? Well, I have. It's true. We've got a big heart, and we can reach lots of people. Jesus changed the world with 12 men. Turned it on its head with 12 men. What can we do? We should do way more, and we will do way more. Proverbs 29:18. I'm reading out of the NIV, says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Where there is no revelation, the early church, when Jesus showed up, was stuck in a rut. The religious system of the time was stuck. It was spinning its wheels, it was stuck in neutral, it was whatever you like to say. They had always done what they had always done because that's the way they always did it. And it had been done that way for so long that nobody could see a different way of doing things. In fact, it was 400 years since they had had any revelation from God. Oh, my Lord. If I went a week, I would be dying. 400 years they went without a revelation from God. That was said in Malachi's prophecy. Malachi lived about 430 BC. And it was... went right through until the arrival of the person that Malachi prophesied of, who was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy, and that was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. The metaphorical returning Elijah. You look that up in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Of course, we understand the prophecies concerning the returning of Elijah were to prepare the way in the wilderness for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. So that's why that was so important. But there was no revelation from God until John showed up. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Isaiah prophesies of John and he says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then in the Gospels of John 1, 22 and 23, the people came to John and they said, finally they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Jesus came to bring forward moving change. Jesus came to break humanity out of a religious system and tradition. He came to set the captives free. He did this by changing the ingrained thinking of his day. He challenged their tradition, value, and beliefs. So I'd like to add to this thinking. As a man thinks, therefore, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. Their thinking was so screwed up, was so intertwined with so many different ideas and beliefs and so many different things that they just, it was a mess. It was a complete mess. So in Matthew 15, 1 through to 20, the Pharisees, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of our elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that they might have been used to help, if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honour their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." A little bit further down, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? See, Jesus had some Pharisees following him. Some Pharisees were actually, could see that this was the guy. This is the fella. The religious leaders of the day, Nicodemus comes to him at night. "We know that you are a teacher sent from God," he says, John 3, verse 1. "We know that you are a teacher sent from God." They knew. So when he said this, they were hurt. They were hurt. It hurt them. But Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit." And you listen to that and you think, man, that's hard. That's hard. These people were just doing what they thought was right. They'd been brought up with this. Their mum and dad had taught them how to do this. Their Sunday school teacher in the synagogue had taught them, this is how you do things. This is the right way to do stuff. And then Jesus comes and he's doing things that are in contradiction to their thinking, what they've been taught. And it just threw them, completely threw them. They couldn't get over the difference between what they had been taught and what the truth was. And we can all fall into that category. We can all fall into that thing where we hold on to old beliefs, old thoughts, old ways of thinking that just don't do us any good, don't help us, and certainly don't help the furtherance of the gospel. Those things need to go. As I said, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Our foundation, The rock on which we stand is none other than Jesus Christ. End of story. And so what we build upon that foundation is very important, because we can listen to all sorts of teachings. We can listen to all sorts of thoughts of men. And they're nice things, and I like to listen to different things, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. I always listen to what somebody's thinking. They might be right. So I need to listen in case my thinking is not quite right. Because I want to have the thinking that God's got. I want to have my ways being God's ways. Amen? So we all want to move forward, and I know you all do too. We've got to challenge some of our viewpoints, religious and traditional thinking. Not only so that we can be free, but so that we can be in a place to free others. That freedom we find only in Christ. Now, I'm not going to go through a list of what you should believe and what you shouldn't believe and do this and don't do that. You're all grown up men and women. You've all got a brain in your head. You know what's right and what's wrong. But what I would say is, ask yourself some questions. And it's always good to, Paul says, judge yourself lest you be judged. Right? And he's basically saying, have a look at yourself first. Question yourself a bit. See where you're at. See what needs to go. See what you need to keep. See what you need to fortify. Some of our thinking needs to be fortified. There is no other name under heaven and earth by which men can be saved. His name is Jesus. I will fortify that one. It's a truth. It is the truth. And so somebody comes with another gospel saying, oh no, you know, this new Messiah showed up. Yeah, probably not. The Jews are still waiting for their Messiah. They believe he's going to show up this year. Good luck with that. You can easily be deceived. Very easily. Our thinking can be changed. Our thinking is malleable. I'll put it that way. They've just discovered that people with a bipolar disorder who take the certain types of medication gives them the ability to remember things. How interesting is that? They remember things that they couldn't remember before. And what they've found is that when you're young, your brain is extremely malleable. You know it. You know, you're 2-year-old. Every word you say, good or bad, comes out their mouth. Yeah, you know it. How did they learn that word? Well, it's been said in the house somewhere. Hello. It's true. They're very malleable. Now, also, children are also very precious, and we need to protect them, because one of the problems with that is that if they have a trauma, it stays with them. It stays with them. That's why we need to protect our children. Critically important. Now, as you mature, your brain, those chemicals go from the brain and your brain sort of sets somewhat. Not like concrete. It's not like that. We do have brain elasticity. We can remember things. But we do get a bit more set in our ways as we get older. Now, that's from a biological perspective a good thing, because that means that if you do have a trauma, most of the time we can work through it. It's not going to stick with us and haunt us forever, generally. That doesn't happen, though, with people who are taking these medications. If they have a trauma while they're on the medication, it sticks with them. So what I'm saying is that our brains are malleable. We can change. We can change our thinking. We can Change those thoughts and make them good. Now, there's a fellow by the name of, he's an illusionist. He's called Darren Brown. Has anyone ever heard of him, Darren Brown? He's a pretty interesting guy. He basically says this. He says, I am not spiritual. In fact, he's an atheist. He says, I am not psychic. But he does these shows where it looks like he's psychic. But he tells them up front, I am not psychic. I cannot read minds, blah, 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 blah. What it turns out he can do is that he can read people really well. Read them so well that he can, it looks like he's reading their thoughts. Why is that? It's because what we're thinking comes out through our body, comes out through our eyes, comes out through our body language, comes out through us. But the other thing with that is that the right phrases, the right wording can input things into your mind. And that's where we need to be careful. What are the things that we are learning? And the things that we're learning that we don't even know we're learning. Have you got that video for me, James? Just watch a little short video. Now, can you get ready on the pause button, James? Because I'm going to get you to stop at a certain point before he reveals, okay? Oh, you might have to start that again because I'll need to hear it from the beginning. Do we have sound? The guy on the right is Darren Brown. The guy on the left is an actor. Not an actor in this, but...
Let me explain how I fight gifts or presents for people, all right? And this is the best way to handle, bar none, the problem of, you know, what to settle for when you're going to buy gifts for somebody that's a little bit difficult to buy for. Right? Now, what I do is rather than recycle the same sort of two-time bottles of wine or box of chocolates, which are no fun to receive, I go out and I buy anything, and then I make that person fall in love with it. All right, by creating a strong feeling of desire for that object. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it absolutely works. They get all sort of pumped up, you know, and they get that feeling of that positivity you were describing. They beam excitement for it, and you know, it's a win-win thing because they get a present that they love, and you know, I get rid of some stuff out of the back of my kitchen cupboard. What I want you to really understand, though, because it's important, is that that feeling is so strong, can be so extreme, that it can replace the memory of what they actually wanted. So even though 2 days before they may have said, I want X, whatever that is, you know, like a really nice car, like a VM, or an Xbox, or something like that, something they really wanted, suddenly now, they think they always wanted what I got them. You know, they're like, why would I want a car, or an Xbox, that'd be useless to me. And suddenly this thing is useless to them, because they're so delighted and surprised by what I got them. They forget what they originally wanted. Does that make sense? It actually replaces that memory.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. So.
Stop there. Does anyone know what he wants? Oh, that was interesting. Did anyone pick it up? I just wanted to do a little test to see whether we would pick up any of that. The power of suggestion is what it is. So none of us picked up. No one thinks that they know what gift the guy wants to have. I actually did. When I was watching it, I went, oh, I reckon that's a... I won't tell you because that'll spoil the surprise. All right, James.
You can have anything you want. What's your dream present?
A BMX bike.
A BMX bike. That'd be fantastic. And that would make you feel all great, wouldn't it?
For a child of
dream. Really? Is it a child of dream now? There you go.
I'm delighted. What happened, though? I hope it's... I don't know what that was. I hope it's the right sort.
And Adam, what did you buy? What did you want?
I got a BMX bike.
So when you came in here, you wanted a BMX bike?
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's probably not the case. If you can detach yourself from what's happened here a little bit, was it really a BMX bike you wanted when you came in?
That's what I put it down, yeah.
You may have done, but that's very unlikely. Are you sure? If you think back, are you sure you're like, BMX bike is what you want? That absolutely feels right, isn't it? And you think that's what you want?
Yeah, because that's what I worked down. And
yeah, that's fine. So it's probably got some good stuff. Take it out. No one's touched this ever. Where's it been? So where's it been? Did you
wrote
it?
It's still in my wallet.
In your wallet, can I remember? Where are you? What's it? Let's just have a look at that. You know, you signed the name across it. This is the date and the time.
Stamp us on Saturday. Stamp us on
Saturday, okay. But genuinely, no one's touched it since you wrote it.
No, because I signed it over there, so you couldn't do it.
Let's just have a look.
Leather jacket. Yeah, leather jacket. He really wanted a leather jacket. But during the process of the conversation, it was re-implanted into his mind that he wanted a red BMX bike. And how he did that was that during the conversation, he used certain words that he slightly changed. The Xbox is something that Anthony picked up on, which was right, the X. But he actually said something before that, and he emphasized the B, the M, and the X from the Xbox. And he emphasized, and as he said those things, he touched him. Did you notice the touching? So our thoughts are very malleable. And we might all think, well, I'm smarter than that. I wouldn't get caught by that. We're all the same. We're all built the same way. Our psychology all works the same way. It's not magic. It's not, I mean, it's clever. I've got to admit, it is clever. But our minds are malleable. And what many of these illusionists use is they use the fact that we are malleable. They use the fact that we only see certain things. They use the card tricks. You see them all the time. They're using these card tricks. Oh, which card? Blah, blah, blah. They're using the fact that we don't see everything. And so that's how that stuff works. But our minds are malleable. That's why I wanted to show you that, is that they are so malleable. What you watch on TV is impacting your thoughts. What you listen to in the radio is impacting your thoughts. You know, what your conversations are when you're at home is impacting your thoughts. We went over to Tony and Dawn's the other day and we had a fantastic time with them. It was awesome. They brought out some awesome scones. Broke my diet, but it was still nice. But we were having a fantastic conversation, and we had to be at an accountants meeting at 4, and I got up to go to Lou, and on the way back, I saw the clock, and it said 5:05. Oops. The time just went so fast. We were talking about the things of God. We were talking about our thoughts on different things. And Tony was telling me about some things and I was telling Tony about some stuff. And we were fellowshipping. And it was great. I went away and I said, wow, you know, because I think about everything. So everything you say to me, I will think about for a week. Sorry, just who I am. And I was mulling over what Tony had said. And I'm mulling over. And I said, you know what? Tony's right on some of those things. You're all the same. You'd have done the same. But how true is it? You know? So, you know, in our fellowship, try and fellowship during the week. 7 days makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Week. 7 days makes 1 week. Fellowship together. Talk about the things of God. Play at your Bible. I've read this scripture today. Like I shared with you this morning, the scripture that Diane got when she woke up the other day. And it means something. So the things we watch, the things that we let into our minds. And it's not that we should say, oh, I'm just not going to listen, ba-da-da-da. That's not helpful either. We need to be able to listen. We need to be able to weigh up stuff properly. And where our thinking is incorrect, we need to be able to say, oh, that's probably not quite right. I probably should do that. And why is that? Because the revelation of God is an unfolding revelation. You don't just get it once. It's not like he just pours it all in, I wish. God, just give me a brain dump, please. You know, pour it all in. He doesn't do that. We learn by our interactions with one another. We learn by our conversations. But we also learn by the things we allow in. There's certain TV shows I don't watch. And I'm not saying you shouldn't or you should. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't watch certain shows. I don't watch CSI or things like that. My mum loves them. She's going, yes! She loves that stuff. Chris and Steve used to love them too. I can't watch them because I have nightmares for a year. There was one episode. Oh, no, I won't even go. There was one episode. I dreamt it for a year. I don't watch it. I know it's not good for me, so I don't watch it. Okay? Now, things that you know aren't good for you, stay away from them. I'm not saying that you should or you shouldn't drink alcohol. I have the occasional glass. But if you shouldn't be drinking alcohol and you know you shouldn't, don't drink it. And if you're with friends that you know your friend shouldn't be drinking it, then, you know, be nice. Don't drink it either. Things like that. Do you know? So I've lost my place. Oh, thank you. I've missed my place. But our thinking can be changed. And I want you to ask yourself some questions. If you're taking notes, here are some questions. Is the thinking I have bringing me freedom and life or bondage and death? That's a good one. There is some thinking that's just not good. I'm no good. I wish I was better. I wish I preached as good as Anthony. I wish I could build things like Anthony. I'm no good. That's not helpful. I'm me. God has made me to be the perfect Keith I can be. And I'm pretty good Keith. Awesome Keith. Yeah, pretty good preacher too. So some thinking just needs to go. And when that thinking comes into your mind, you need to, I'm not having that thinking. This is what God says about me. Does this thinking line up with the Word of God? As best that I understand it. Now, let's face it. It is an unfolding revelation. Back in the early 80s when I first got saved, I would have told you, and I would have preached this, that unless you spoke in tongues, you weren't even saved. That's what I believed back then. It's an unfolding revelation. Do I believe that now? No, I don't. But then I did, because it's an unfolding revelation. You know, once upon a time, I would have said the, you know, all sorts of things. I've preached all sorts of silly things over the years. Some of those tapes, I hope they burn if they ever find them in some of the old churches. See, Pastor Keith said, da, 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 da. No, burn those old tapes. You know, we change as we think, as we go forward. And that's how it ought to be. Am I looking at God's word through a predefined or pre-learned bias? Religious or traditional? Or, should I say it, Pentecostal? Us Penties are, there are some, the deer and the queer. I'm a little bit worried about everyone except for me and thee, and I'm a little concerned about thee. You know, some of our thinking is a bit out there. And we do need to think about that. What really does line up with the Word of God and what doesn't? What teachings did we get? We went years through this where they talked about coverings. Everything had to have a covering. The covering on this, the covering on that. They put the coverings on the chairs. They put coverings. Everyone had to be under a covering. And we taught that. That everyone's got to be under a covering. Rubbish. You are under a covering. His name's Jesus. Jesus. That's it. Your covering is Jesus. Who do we relate to? We relate to Jesus Christ. The King. The Lord of Lords. The Prince of Peace. That's our covering. But for years we taught that as being, you're not really a church unless you've got a covering. Rubbish. But we thought that was truth back then. So line up things with the Word of God as best as you understand it. That's all you can do. You can't be expected to do any more than that. But that, just remember that that thinking may change. What you understand today as being truth may not be that 10 years of time as God reveals more of himself to us. Do I allow others to challenge my thinking? Oh, this is a good one. Or do I get angry that they don't agree with me? Because I'm always right, right? This is how I know when somebody has religious thinking. When I'm talking to them and the religious, we're just pressing on that little religious point, they'll get angry. That tells me. It tells me straight away, this is a religious point. Because God doesn't get angry. No. He lets you think whatever you like. That's the way he is. He knows what's correct. No convincing God otherwise. And we're like that. So when we start feeling that, that's making me a bit cranky. You need to think about why that is. Why is that? Because God is love. And so when something resonates with your spirit, that's love. And you go, aha. So when I say the words like freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That resonates with us, doesn't it? We all want to be free. Because freedom is a truth. What if I said, you should attend church every Sunday. Don't miss one. That didn't resonate with anyone. Because we all live lives. We've all got stuff on. Things happen. You kick the cat on the way out. You have an argument with hubby or wifey as you're walking out the door. That's it. You go to church. I'm not going with you. Or you come in separate cars. You know, resonate with us. The truth resonates with us. It does because it brings us freedom. It changes our thinking for the good. Anything that brings you into bondage is not good. Oh, I'll just read out the rest of these questions. How long do I wrestle with a thinking that is different to mine? Me and Tony were having a good discussion about a particular topic. Well, I won't go into it. I don't want to offend anyone. We're having a good discussion about this topic, backwards and forwards. It was really good. I wrestled with that conversation for 3 days. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Can I see his viewpoint? Can I walk with him? Yes, I can. I love him. My brother in Christ. So you don't have to always agree. But you should still be able to walk together in love. The relationship's more important. But it's good to wrestle with these things. Wrestle with them. So that we can change our thinking. so that we may fortify the things that should be fortified, so that we can throw out the things that aren't helping, that we can grab the new that God is pouring out. That's what we want. Do you have to always be right? Look, I cannot tell you the numbers of times that I have been right. It must be, I could probably on one hand.
Is that on record?
Joey just said, was it on record? Is it being recorded? It is true. I am wrong. Often. You happy, Joey? Good. I am wrong often. I get it wrong often. I lose my cool where I shouldn't lose my cool. I get it wrong often. We're all the same. Our buttons get pushed. Arr! I don't have to always be right. I've got this saying in my household, whoever's willing to say sorry first wins. That's really important. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. The relationships are more important than the argument. How did I come to Christ, and has that experience coloured my thinking for the positive or the negative? I came to Christ in the 80s when speaking in tongues was all the rage. Yeah? You get my idea there? Some of the teachings we were taught way back then, they just weren't right. But we took them in because we thought they were. Think about those things. Do I listen to other people's viewpoint and dismiss them instantly out of hand because that's not what I was taught? Or do I listen and then weigh it up through prayer and meditating in God's word for the truthful answer? You know, when Anthony first came with Jonathan Welton stuff, I struggled with the Jonathan Welton stuff a bit. I've got to admit, I did, honestly. Because I read everything. So I've read all of his books. I've read half through the big encyclopedic one. Oh, my Lord. It's a big book. I'm about halfway through. And not everything that he says in it I agree with. That's fair enough. That doesn't mean that I'm right. He might be completely right and I might be completely wrong, and I just have not yet received that revelation. So I have, that's where I've got to live. That's where I've got to live. He may be right. I might not be. But God will give me the revelation if, yeah? God will give me the revelation. I'll ask him, God, what do you say about this? And it's amazing how often you'll say that to God. Flick open your Bible and there'll be scripture. Oh. I was saying something to Diane on the way to training the other night. And I thought, yeah, this person says this thing about blah, blah, blah. And as I said that, a car pulled up in front of me, and the number plate was lie, 123. I see everything. I went, okay, so that's just rubbish. Now, it might have been just coincidence, but the chances are, I know my God, he's got a great sense of humour. So, okay, that's probably not the truth. So anyway, I won't go into that, it's because it's rubbish. It was a lie, so I'm not going to go there. But I do listen. I do meditate in God's word about what's been said or how it's been said. I do look for the scriptures that either back up or otherwise. And scriptures that say the opposite. That's really important. If you've got a thought and you've got three scriptures that say blah A, and you've got four scriptures that say B, it's not about the number of scriptures on either side of the argument. It means that we don't understand the question. Important. I met this guy a number of years ago. And I will finish very quickly. I'm over time, sorry. I met this guy a number of years ago, and he was from it was basically a cult, but they drove around in combi vans. And they would get these combi vans, and they didn't have any money. They didn't do that. They just lived for Jesus, right? Just lived for Jesus. And anyway, his big thing was that unless you got saved, and they actually said, as you got baptized in the name of Jesus, you weren't really baptized. And they built a whole church based upon this one little doctrine. Because it says it once in the book of Acts. We can't be like that. We've got to look at the book in its entirety. Otherwise, we're led down the garden path and we'll end up preaching things that are just wrong. You know, we'll get stuck on one point. The Mormons baptized for the dead. Why? Because Paul says in Corinthians, well, should we then baptize for the dead? He's basically saying if there is no resurrection from the dead, he's being sarcastic. He's saying if there's no resurrection and we're baptizing people, then are we not just baptizing the dead? What's the point in that? That's what he's saying. But they didn't take it like that. They've taken it, Aunt Mary's passed on, we might just go and baptize in proxy. Doesn't work like that. But that's because you take one thing out of context. All right. And my last question, have I asked our Father God for a deeper revelation from him? That just might blow you away. God has the answers. Jesus was the answer. And our thinking can change. God says in Isaiah 55, 8 to 13, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. I don't know about you, church, but I seek his thoughts to be my thoughts. I seek his ways to be my ways. Because I know that they are perfect. And I know I am not perfect, but I seek God's thinking on things. I want to know what he thinks about that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you've brought change into our life through Jesus. And we just ask that you would soften our hearts, soften our minds, soften our very soul to hear from you, that we might hear your words, we might have your thoughts, and that we might do and perform your ways and your will. We pray that this church would be a light set upon a hill. Lord, that this church, Lord God, would be a radiant splendor of your goodness to everybody who comes in and to everybody who's outside. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would shine through us, that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.